Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And in today's installment, we're going to be speaking with documentary filmmaker Chris Newberry. Newberry and his crew are in the midst of putting together the Jacob Wetterling documentary film and will be in town today, Monday, May 6th, at Bad Habit Brewing in St. Joseph for a trailer release party and fundraiser so that they can complete the editing on this one-of-a-kind documentary. Newberry and crew began filming with the Wetterling family a couple of years ago, and while they were filming, the Jacob Wetterling case broke wide open. While many of us are very aware of the Jacob Wetterling case and its effect upon our community, there's still much to be told about how this tragedy has had a profound effect upon numerous friends and family around the area. So we'll be talking with Chris Newberry today about this strange and meaningful journey, as well as how the community and the Wetterling Foundation expects to move into the future.
Chris, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And how about, you know, we just start off with just telling a little bit about yourself before we get into this big project.
So, my name's Chris Newberry, and I am a filmmaker based in Minneapolis. I lived in Minnesota for most of my life, was born and raised here, spent a few stints in other places for education and adventure, but mostly I've spent most of my life here in Minnesota.
Right on. And what got you into documentary films or filmmaking?
I think I was kind of, in a way, destined to do filmmaking, for better or worse. Growing up, I was one of those kids who would mess around with the video camera and do my best to convince my teachers that the form of that project would be best suited as a video rather than a diorama or a paper or a live presentation. So I was always really interested in it and went to and studied some filmmaking in school, both undergrad and in a master's program. And at that time in my early adult life, I was pretty sure I was going to be a narrative filmmaker. That is to say, making like scripted dramas and comedies and that kind of thing. And I moved back to Minnesota and started making those types of films. Actually, what ended up happening is I ended up meeting a really remarkable person who is still in my life to this day. Her name is Melody Gilbert, and she's a prolific documentary filmmaker based here in Minneapolis. And she has made several of her own films over the last couple decades, but she also has mentored several people. And so there's sort of almost a gang of us here in the Twin Cities who all are disciples of Melody Gilbert. And at the time I met Melody, I was making, the scripted films. I was writing screenplays and I was making my own, like, little short films with actors. And then eventually upon meeting Melody, I sort of caught the documentary bug. I realized that was, there's this whole other world of storytelling, available to us, any of us with a camera. And that's kind of where I started. And that was roughly a decade ago that shift happened, where I started, spending way more time working on documentaries. And now I more or less do all documentary work.
Yeah, because, there are stories out there. People are stories. And then you just got to get them to tell you their stories, and then you can present it. How did you get involved with, the Jacob Wetterling story? Because this is a pretty big story. There's been a lot of coverage, media coverage, but on the other hand, I'm familiar with them too. I'm familiar with the family a little bit. They kind of shy away from, sensationalism or, they were forced into the public eye because of a very unfortunate thing that everyone is aware of. And that thing has, like, changed a lot for a lot of people. But at the same time, they also kind of like their privacy. So, one, how did you get involved? And two, how did this whole thing develop?
I'll explain kind of where it all started. I mean, I had mentioned before that I grew up in Minnesota, and I was 14 when Jacob was abducted And so I'm one of those Minnesotans, where there's a lot of us who remember it really well when that story was unfolding in 1989, and like many Minnesotans, that it really stuck with me. You know, it was the question of what happened to Jacob was the thing that kind of hung over all of us for all those years. And so I felt like as connected to Jacob's story as one can from a distance. And then the years go by, and it was 25 years after the abduction, there was a new billboard campaign around Stearns County. I don't know if some of your listeners may remember. They put up a new billboard with a picture of Jacob's face and an age progression image of him and the words "still missing." When I saw news coverage of the billboard campaign, it sparked my interest again, it occurred to me that I couldn't think of having seen anyone doing an in-depth, intimate documentary about Jacob's case. I mean, there's been plenty of news coverage and some television specials about it over the years, but nothing like the kind of work I do. And so it just occurred to me, wow, maybe that could be my next project. And in 2015, I sent a cold email to the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center because I thought that would be maybe a first point of contact. And then a few days later, I was connected with Patty, and we started this dialogue. They were receptive to the idea, at least exploring the idea of making a documentary about Jacob's case. At that point, it was still a big mystery. Nobody knew what happened to Jacob. And they were open to this idea of exploring a documentary about it. So we had a few meetings, and Patty and Jerry and I sat down, and we realized that we roughly shared a vision of what that film could look like. And the next thing we know, we were about to ready to roll camera on our first interview with Patty, and I got the call that somebody had been arrested, and that was late 2015. And now we know that's Danny Heinrich was arrested on child pornography charges, and then 10 months later he confessed to Jacob's murder. So we were filming during both those sort of momentous moments in the story, and we spent time filming with the family and several other people close to the case during that 10 month period, where we didn't know if Danny Heinrich was the guy, and we didn't know if there were still a lot of questions. At that point, there were a lot of questions whether or not we would ever know what had happened to Jacob and if this was the culprit. And then we continued to film. In fact, we're still filming bits and pieces, although most of the filming is complete. We're still filming bits and pieces now, and so it's 3.5 years later, and that's kind of where we're at.
Huh. Yeah, talk about being in kind of the right place at the right time and the right moment. Kind of start one project, and then it shifts into kind of another project. It must have been rather emotionally, kind of a roller coaster for everybody involved there. You're approaching it, with some, respect for the family, and you have a shared vision, and then all of a sudden everything changes. And, how did that affect the direction that you were going with it?
Well, to some extent, the kind of filmmaking that my collaborators and I undertake is often that type of let's film everything, catch everything we can, and then let the story find its shape in the editing room. It's not quite that haphazard, but sometimes it feels that way. And so it wasn't really out of our comfort zone to all of a sudden shift gears, because you're right, if you're making that film about this mystery that's still unsolved, and that's this boy, and we don't know what happened to him, and it's a different mode of operating. It's reflective, and you're looking at those 25 years, leaning on archival images, and filming a lot of interviews, and letting the interviewees piece together the story. So those elements are still, of course, going to be in the film, but all of a sudden we had to shift gears, and we were covering live events as they were happening. So it changed changed the way we had to approach our work. There were also a lot of questions that occasionally still come up, because we haven't jumped into the editing room yet. These questions of, So now, you know, what's the focus of the story? Because it is such a big story with so many interesting dimensions that if you're going to tell it in, you know, an hour and a half or whatever format, whatever length this ends up being, but we're sort of approaching it as an hour and a half feature right now, there's only so much you can fit in that time frame. So, you know, that there's always those questions: is what are you training your lens on? You know, what are you focusing on in the story? That did change in some ways because all of a sudden there was a quote unquote resolution to the story. All of a sudden, we know what happened to Jacob. It doesn't make it any less interesting, and in some ways, it adds a new arc to the storytelling. But it does, you know, pose some challenges about how, you know, what do you focus on?
Yeah, you were talking about the Jacob Wendling Resource Center, and they are, well, they work towards or trying to reduce this kind of crime, or, you know, what happened to Jacob will never happen again. That's kind of their big thing. And, you know, it is this thing within all our communities where we all like to think, oh, this kind of thing will never happen here. But then obviously it does. And then we've got to, well, work to change that, I guess. And I think that's where it does get much more complex, because if you've just got the story of, oh, a kid was abducted and now we don't, you know, we don't know what's going on. We're going to find the kid. That seems on one level to be very, very straightforward, but it does get much more complex. And well, maybe you can, you know, tell us a little bit about what this Jacob Wendling Resource Center, what they do, and, you know, how they're making changes in the community.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I got to spend a fair amount of time with them, with the staff and leadership with the Jacob Wendling Resource Center, and Patty and Jerry, who founded what became the Resource Center. They are still involved, not in day-to-day operations, but they still are involved a bit. And yeah, so I can answer that question. They do amazing work. Part of their focus is on prevention work. A lot of the work they do is outreach. Well, I had the pleasure of accompanying Patty and Allison Fay, who's one of the I think her title now is the director of the Jacob Wendling Resource Center. I had the pleasure of shadowing them with my camera when they went out to Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and gave some addresses to the community. They spoke to elementary school kids, they spoke to high school kids, and then they spoke to the adults in the evening time, and talked about prevention, like how do we make the world safer for kids in our communities. So that's a big part of it, is this outreach and prevention work. But they also do victim assistance. Another small storyline that we're following in the film is the story of a couple other missing persons cases that are still unresolved. One of the families is they are based here in Minnesota, and the family of this missing person does interact with the Wendling Resource Center quite often, and the Resource Center staff is providing victim assistance, so they'll help them if they want to put on an event to keep the word out there about their missing family member. If there's an emotional support that's needed, the staff is really well versed in trauma informed counseling, and just provide, and they do a lot of referrals too. They'll, if there's a resource that is better suited for that person, they know where to send them. So they do a lot of really great work, and it's all done in Jacob's name.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're talking with documentary filmmaker Chris Newberry and his project, The Jacob Wendling Documentary, which is a film about the 1989 disappearance of 11-year-old Jacob Wendling and the tragedy's aftermath for communities across the Midwest. Newberry and his team began filming with the Wendling family at a pivotal moment in 2015, just as word came of an arrest in their son's case, and the subsequent filming created the raw material for this production. Newberry and his team will be in St. Joseph today, May 6th, at the Bad Habit Brewing for a trailer release party and a fundraiser so that they can finish production on the film. The event at Bad Habit Brewing starts at 6 p.m. There will be other upcoming trailer release parties and fundraisers, including up in Duluth on Tuesday the 7th, Sioux Falls on May 13th, and in Fargo on May 14th. For more information on the project, as well as how you can contribute, you can visit the film's official website at www.jacobwetterlingfilm.com and also link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the link for this story. And now we rejoin the conversation with filmmaker Chris Newberry.
This is definitely one of these topics that at first, you know, I didn't think there was much out there, but there is a lot out there, and there are people that are taking active roles in, you know, trying to prevent this stuff from happening again and, you know, looking deeper into it. So it is nice to know that people are working on this, especially for, you know, the rest of us that are somewhat blissfully ignorant of the situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So on Monday the 6th, you all are having a trailer release party for the documentary. It's going to be at Bad Habit Brewing in St. Joseph, beginning at 6 p.m.
Yeah, it's really excited. We're undertaking, you know, I've been mentioning a little bit about where we are in the process of making the film, and we've reached this point, which unfortunately for an independent film like us, it's not too uncommon to have most of your footage in the can, and then reach this point where you need to jump into post-production, and the most heavy lifting in the post-production is the editing, and then the expenses start to pile up. So we are hoping to approach this as a community effort. We're looking to the community for support, and I know that Jacob's story means a lot to people, especially here in this part of the country. And so, you know, I feel pretty confident that folks will help us get to the next stage of production with some contributions. And we're taking sort of a multi-pronged approach. We're doing this online GoFundMe campaign. And so anybody out there, whether they could be in Sartell or they could be in Tokyo, can jump online and help the effort. One of the other things we're doing to help raise some funds is we're going on a road show. We're taking our trailer release party to 5 different cities, and yes, it's really exciting. On as you said, May 6th, we're going to be in St. Joseph, which is Jacob's hometown, and we're at each of our events. We're being hosted by a craft brewery, and there's a really great craft brewery tap room in St. Joseph called Bad Habit Brewing. And what the evening will entail is we're going to show a brand new trailer before it's released to the wider public. This is going to be kind of a sneak peek of just giving a little bit of a taste of what we imagine the film is going to look like when it's complete. So we're going to have our unveil our trailer, and I'll be there at each event. So I'll be there in St. Joseph on the 6th, and we'll talk about the filmmaking process a little bit, have a question and answer session with the audience, and hopefully anyone who partakes can grab a beer and enjoy themselves. And we will also have some special guests at the event in St. Joseph. We're going to be welcoming Patty and Jerry Wetterling are going to be there, and they'll for a few minutes they'll address the gathered crowd and talk a little bit about maybe they may talk a little bit about the journey of working with me on the film, or say some other things that are on their mind. And we will also have a representative from the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center talk a little bit about their work. And it's all the proceeds, $10 a head, and all the proceeds will go into the production fund to help us get get to our fundraising goals. As we stand right now, it's the St. Joseph event especially has proven very popular. So I would encourage any of your listeners who would like to join us to go right to the website and see if you can grab yourself a ticket. They are the website address?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where you would want to go if you're interested in supporting the effort on the GoFundMe site, but also if you're interested in the trailer release party. And so you go to our official website. It's jacobwetterlingfilm.com, and you can find links right there for either of those things. So we definitely, and you know what, people sometimes wonder, I found, is, you know, we're off to a pretty great start with our GoFundMe, but we still got a long way to go. And I've already experienced this phenomenon that people think, wow, this seems like a big effort. They've got a big goal of reaching this amount of money to get their film made. I don't know if my 20 or 30 bucks is going to make a difference. And I can tell you right now that the $20 and $30, those kinds of donations are the things that are going to get us there. Mm-hmm. So I would, anyone who's out there who's been touched by Jacob's story and would like to share, you know, the story with the world, we're hoping to get a national audience with this film when we're done. And I think that the Wetterling story deserves an in-depth, intimate treatment and deserves a larger audience. And so anyone who would like to help share the story of Jacob Wetterling and all the good work that's been done in his name, I would, you know, be grateful if you'd help us out.
It is quite the story, you know, over 25 years in the making, 30 years almost at this point.
Getting close to the 30-year mark.
That it is. Time just keeps slipping by. And, you know, I'm checking out the GoFundMe page right now. So if you go to GoFundMe and then look for Jacob Film and or link to it off of any of the number of other places, including the, you know, link to this podcast of this story, you can get there like there. And as of now, as we're recording this, it's like you're a sixth of the way there of what your goal is. So, you know, I got 149 people in 8 days have done this. And it is. It's a bunch of little donations because those little donations add up. And, you know, you got 20 bucks here, 30 bucks there. Well, it's easier to get 100 people to donate 20 bucks than one person to donate 2,000 bucks. So, you know, that's
absolutely
kinda, yeah. And it does go towards this good cause to get this out there and, you know, something that other people can watch and, you know, find that or find those resources that are out there, because there are all sorts of things that can happen and there are all sorts of people that can help. And I think that's kind of the bottom line of this story is, yes, there was a tragedy, but what do we do now? So that's the vibe I've always gotten from the Wetterlings. So what do we do now?
Well put.
Well, anything else you'd like to put out there about anything?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll reiterate that one thing that sort of surprised me when I started working on this film is, you know, as I mentioned before, I grew, you know, much of my life I've, you know, spent with this story sort of always there in the background. And you know, for me, I guess I always assumed that Wetterling was a household name everywhere. Mm. And then when I started working on this project and I did a little traveling, with the, you know, to film in other parts of the country for this film. And I, you know, would interact with friends from other parts of the country and explain what I was doing. And I was, you know, initially kind of surprised that, you know, it would, when I would talk about the Wetterling story, it would, you know, get sort of a blank look on people's faces. And I realized that even though, like, it's so ingrained in Minnesota, in our lives, this story of Jacob and how, you know, parenting, how Jacob's childhood and my childhood is way different than my kids' childhood now that we just experience this cultural shift, and Jacob's abduction was sort of smack dab in the middle of this big change in the way we approach parenting. But it occurred to me that the name Wetterling, actually, and Jacob's, the specifics of Jacob's story, it sort of got, for much of the country, it sort of got lost in history. Because sadly, there's no shortage of sort of tragic abduction and, you know, child endangerment stories. And, you know, so I guess it shouldn't be surprising that, you know, a story that, you know, a crime that occurred now almost 30 years ago is lost in the consciousness a little bit of America. And so to me, what one of the things I want to do here is remind people of this amazing, this very unique, very Minnesota story, and you know, raise up the unlikely heroes in the story. You know, one thing we haven't talked about much is that some of our focus is on a few of the people who worked behind the scenes to uncover information that eventually, in a way, led to law enforcement finally zeroing in on the right guy, and not to mention the, you know, sort of the heroics of Jacob's family, just being resilient and then going and doing good work in Jacob's name. I want to share that Minnesota story with the world, and I'm hoping that Minnesota, the community, will come rally around us and help us get there.
Right on. Well, Chris, thanks for chatting with me today on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
And once again, we've been speaking with documentary filmmaker Chris Newberry here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Newberry and his team are hosting a trailer release party for the Jacob Wetterling documentary today, Monday, May 6th, at Bad Habit Brewing in St. Joseph, beginning at 6 p.m. This event, you'll be able to see the trailer for the film, as well as hearing from the documentary makers, Patty and Jerry Wetterling, as well as representatives from the Jacob Wetterling Resource Center. The event is also a fundraiser so that they can gather resources from the community in order to finish the editing on the story and move production along into a finished product. There is a GoFundMe page where the campaign is trending, and you can find that on GoFundMe by searching for Jacob Film. You can also link to it off of their website at www.jacobwetterlingfilm.com. You can also find links on our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the link to this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack reminding you that your help with this project can move it along so that those involved can share Jacob's story with the rest of the world and maybe help prevent something like this from ever happening again. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.